Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Hey everybody, we are so glad that you could join us today from wherever you are. We are so blessed, even though we can't be face to face, that we have the technology and we have the people who know the technology to be able to get us connected during these times. Today we wrap up our teaching series on miracles. We have talked about Jesus' first miracle of turning water into wine, about the faith of the royal official who walked 20 miles to Cana to see the one who has ultimate authority, and Jesus healed his son. We spent time hearing that the healing of the invalid at the pool of Bethesda came when he changed his perspective on how he thought he could be healed. And last week, we spent time remembering how Jesus walked on the water and how he gave Peter the grace to do the same. If you are a follower of Christ, it is paramount that you believe when Jesus rose from the dead, the word impossible should have left your vocabulary. Jesus made the impossible possible as only he could do. And you know what? He is still doing it today. Do you believe in miracles? If you believe in the miracle worker, then your answer should be, yes, I believe in miracles. It's great to be the recipient of a miracle or watch someone else get their miracle. But really, that's just secondary to why we get miracles. The primary reason for miracles is to point us to the miracle worker, to point us to Jesus. Let's conclude the message series today with one more story about the miracle worker. If you'll join me, John 9, 1 through 11 says this. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." When we read in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, we find four main types of healing miracles that Jesus did. He made the lame walk, the mute to talk, the deaf to hear, and the blind to see. All four types of miracles are wonderful and amazing and should draw attention to the miracle worker, Jesus. Each miracle, where the impossible is proved possible with the hands and the words of the miracle worker. But making the blind see is particularly noteworthy because of the complexity and makeup of the eyes to be able to see. And this particular miracle in John 9 is not just Jesus healing a man blind, but healing a man born blind. And there is a difference. You see, a person who was born able to see may have suffered a disease or accident that left them blind or unable to fully see. But with prayer and a bit of help from surgery, a person could possibly see again. As amazing as it is, it's easier to believe someone can see again if they had sight before than if they had never seen ever before, meaning they were born blind. Being born blind usually means one wasn't born with what's biologically necessary for them to see in the first place. And using medical terminology, it means there were no synaptic connections between the optic nerve and the visual cortex. So what's incredibly amazing about this miracle that Jesus did? We see in verse 32 of the same chapter where it says, nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. This means that the healing Jesus did for this man is much more amazing and spectacular. It also points to just how amazing the miracle worker is. He created the ears that hear. He created the eyes that see. So why couldn't he restore, or in this case, bring into being the condition the man needed to be able to not just see, but to see for the first time? Let me read a paragraph from Mark Batterson's book, The Grave Robber, in regards to the process of seeing from birth. He says, did you know that babies are born legally blind? But maybe it's a blessing in disguise. The faces we make at newborn babies might scare them and scar them if they could see them. He goes on to say, at birth, their vision is no better than 20/200, and they cannot focus on anything farther than 12 inches away. That's why touch is so critical in the early stages of a baby's life. That's how they interpret the world. After 8 months, their visual acuity, color, vision, and depth perception rival that of the adult making silly faces at them. During this developmental process, windows of opportunity open and close like clockwork. Vision, for example, is primarily wired between birth and 18 months. And synaptogenesis is the visual cortex peaks at about 3 months. That's where the miracle gets fascinating. If you were to place a patch over the eye of a newborn baby and leave it there during the first few years of life, that baby would be blind in that eye for the rest of their life, even if there was no physical deformity or genetic defect. Their reason is simple. No synapses would form between the visual cortex and the optical nerve. You see, being born blind means to those who don't believe in the miracle worker that it's utterly impossible for that man to ever see. It will never happen. But when you believe in the miracle worker, remember, impossible leaves our vocabulary. When you believe in Jesus, you never say never. Have you ever had this experience? Reading a passage of scripture or story or a parable that you've read many times before, but all of a sudden your eyes are open to something you've never seen in that passage before. Here's what I'd like to happen right now. Let's take a few moments, and if you feel comfortable doing so, share when your spiritual eyes were open to see something in God's word for the first time. Take a moment right now. Thanks for taking a couple moments to share with each other. It's important for us to connect in this way, telling our stories to each other and helping each other grow as disciples. So thank you. Think about this. Why didn't Jesus just heal the man born blind right there on the spot? Why did Jesus send him off on a difficult trek to the pool of Siloam to wash? Why couldn't he have done it right then and right there? A little history tells us that this walk to the pool from the temple would have been a hike down hundreds of stairs to get to the pool. And at this time, during this time that it was happening, was during the Feast of Tabernacles, when thousands of people were in the town and would be walking those same steps. For a man born blind, this would have been a difficult journey to get to the pool. Like the 20-mile hike from the royal official to show the faith he had that his son would be healed, we are called on to show effort and belief that Jesus will do a miracle for us too. This man born blind lived most of all of his life in a helpless state, dependent on everyone else to take care of him. God has given all of us the strength to take any and every step that he calls us to take. Do you believe that? Even for Peter walking on water. Remember that Jesus will give us all the grace that we need to do exactly what he's called us to do. What Jesus told the man to do, Jesus believed he could do. The man needed to believe in himself. I believe if the man born blind decided to not make the trip to the pool or even tried to find a pitcher of water near to wash his eyes out, then his miracle might never have happened. Church, most miracles require an act of blind obedience. Not blind faith, but blind obedience. A faith put in the miracle worker can be trusted, but often he will ask us to do what we would say is ridiculous or unnecessary or in our eyes would seem impossible. And we have to decide if we are going to trust him by being obedient. But that's just when God steps in and does some of his greatest work. One step of obedience can open our eyes. One step of obedience can reverse the curse. One step of obedience can begin a new chapter in your life. Maybe you're listening today to this and you are thinking how many times you have been rejected or how many times that you have rejected what God has asked you to do. Maybe you're remembering a time when God told you no because you wanted him to help you in the manner in which you thought was best. Maybe you're wishing you could reverse time, go back, and change your answers to those decisions. You know what? You can't go back and change those decisions to trust and follow Jesus, but you can begin right now to make that right decision. You see, God doesn't say, nope, you had your chance, no more. I tried to help you, but you wouldn't listen to me, so you're on your own. No, we have a Father who is all about second and third chances, about fourth and fifth chances, who's about 1,000 chances. It's not over till it's over. Our God is a patient God, and he waits for us. Maybe you've been laid off, or you've lost your job during this COVID-19 outbreak. Maybe it seems as if you're not going to make it. Maybe that's how you feel right now. Friends, what seems to be impossible odds could be the beginning of a miracle in your life, a new chapter, a perfect opportunity for you to put the effort and the belief in the impossible and have your miracle. Let me read verses 3 through 5 again of our text. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, while I don't believe God caused this COVID-19 virus in the world, what I do believe is this. He will use it. If you will believe and let him to do amazing, mighty works for those who love him. And why? So that all might see just how good and how great our God is. If you feel comfortable right now, spend a couple moments sharing where you have seen God's mighty hand at work during the last 3 weeks. Take a couple moments to do that right now. Thanks for taking the time to share. Followers of Christ, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who lives in us and fulfill the purposes for this time and this day and this hour. What a great opportunity to bring hope and light to the darkness. Someone you know might have a doom and gloom outlook. They are primed to hear about the one who made the impossible possible, and you might be the person to help them see that. Who is the light of the world? Jesus. And his light lives in you. It's time to work while it is still day, friends. There is a time when it will be too late, Scripture says, when night will come and the time to make decisions will be over. We have to have an urgency in our spirit to share the gospel with someone. Can I tell you that the work we have had to put in to keep us connected and continue our worship services has required much more work and time than if we were just doing our normal prep and services in person. This time has demanded that we think outside the box, spend more time and hours preparing and meeting to get ready for this. And not just me and Grant, but many of our partners have put in the hours and hours to be connected. It has been very time consuming, but it has ignited some creative thinking that God is using now and I believe will use for our future in the Fountain Church. God has given us an opportunity to stretch our faith muscles and walk 20 miles to the pool to take those steps of obedience that our miracle worker wants us to take, and knowing that we will be stronger but because of it and connected even in a greater way. But I know that it's going to play out for when we get back together that we will be stronger because of it. I'm believing for it. This will play into the favor of the whole church kingdom-wide. We will not be scattered. It's given us time to be the church to our neighbor in a real and intentional way. This is a time for the church to shine a light in our community so they can see Jesus. You see, the point of any miracle is to point to the miracle worker. It's to point to Jesus. And God is wanting you and me to trust him through this difficult time. He knows exactly what you're going through and what it's going to take for you to get through it. If you let him, he will grow your faith, strengthen your resolve, and do the impossible. And he will even use you to become someone else's miracle. That would be great, to be someone else's miracle. So it's never too little and it's never too late. When Jesus entered the picture, never say never. Friends, the full gospel is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the dead. If he didn't do all that, then we couldn't believe in never say never. But he did. If you are a baptized believer, take a moment, if you haven't already, to prepare to take communion with us. Go and get the bread and the grape juice for the Lord's Supper. Jesus said to the Father while praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Luke 22, he says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Jesus was about the will of his Father, and an angel came to strengthen his resolve to do the will of his Father. The will of his Father was to become a sacrifice, once for all, for the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future, so as to make a way for man to be reconciled back to God. Jesus' purpose was to fulfill Scripture that must be done. Matthew's account of Jesus' arrest tells us that Peter drew his sword and cut off the ear of the servant in an effort to protect Jesus. And Jesus had this to say to Peter, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" Friends, you and I matter so much to God that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's why Jesus gave up his life for you and me. That's why his body, the bread, was pierced for our sins, and his blood, the fruit of the vine, was shed for our forgiveness. There is much to be grateful for. So let's pause a moment and take the bread. And now the fruit of the vine. Now let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that we matter so much to you, that you sent your Son. You loved us so much. And Jesus came to die for us. And his sacrifice of his body and his blood means that we can live eternally with you if we choose to do so. But Father, for us who have chosen that, we take this communion remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made, and we're grateful for it. We thank you, Jesus, for giving up yourself and choosing to do the will of your Father and fulfilling Scripture. Because without that, we would not be reconciled back to the Father. So we thank you, Jesus, and we honor you now and praise your name. In your name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for joining us over this series. And as long as we have to do this, we'll find new ways to stay connected. But it's that important that you stay connected. Call your neighbor. Call your friends. Talk to them online. Talk to them with Zoom. Text them. Just keep connected with people, because That's what we're supposed to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul is the first and greatest commandment. But loving our neighbor is the second, and liken unto the first, as Scripture says. So it's very important that we keep our relationships going. God is first, and people are second. So do that, and we'll see you the next time. Have a great day.